Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Alan Buckley from the Irish Rock and Roll Museum Experience is with us in studio today to tell us about the making of Pulp.
Yes, indeed.
How are things?
Things are good. Things are good. And of course, we are... this is a band that's been around for a long time.
Yeah.
But we have a special reason for featuring them.
All together now, this weekend, if you're going, you'll get to
are
see
you
Pulp.
Going?
I'm going. I'm actually not going until Saturday.
Okay.
I'm
I know
going...
it is one of your favourites. It's one of your favourite festivals.
Yeah. Electric Picnic is more my music genre, truth be told.
Fair.
If you don't know at this stage, I'm a bit of a pop queen.
It's a well kept secret.
Altogether now is probably a bit cool for me, you know. But at the same time, I actually really like the festival. It's much smaller.
See, this is what I mean, yeah. Mm. Sometimes it's about the nature of the gig rather than necessarily.
If they could bring Calvin Harris.
Oh, here we go.
To All Together Now, or Kylie Minogue, then I'd love it.
If it was designed more
for me.
You. Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, you're telling us about Pulp. Who are they?
Yeah, this is a really interesting one, I think, because they get very much thrown in with the Oasis, Blur, the Britpop movement of the early to mid-90s. But what if I told you that they were actually started in 1978?
Yeah, I did not know that.
I know, it's mad. And one of my fears today is if you were to ask me to name all the people in the band, because in my research, I wouldn't have been surprised if you were in the band at some point. There's been so many actual members over the years, and they've had, talk about formation, wilderness, growing success, breakup, reunion, second reunion, they've been around a while.
Were they always kind of trumped by Blur and Oasis?
Yes, but were they trying to trump those bands would be my question.
Right.
Or are they a little bit kind of unfairly thrown into that genre and therefore forcing comparison? Because they come out of a very musical town, a city, Sheffield, Yorkshire, that's produced many a great band. And they would have come out around a time when the most famous Sheffield band, and certainly the most successful one at the time, the Human League, synth pop and all of that was coming. But I think they belong more to a kind of an eclectic kind of art school, very different, lots of genres. They were accused early in their career of just listening to the John Peel show and picking up whatever influences were going at the time, from everything to the Human League to ABBA. But they struggled, they reformed, they had lots of different members. I will mention this, that they do have an Irish member from Northern Ireland, Candida, the keyboard player, and she's kind of stuck with them through the years. She's left herself a few times to go hill walking and things like that and made it back. But they're a disparate group that has had massive success, but it's quite the tale in terms of their... rise, fall, rise again.
Headline and All Together Now, but we're here, we're talking about a specific album?
No. I suppose mostly 90s stuff, really. But I did choose, the first song there, Babies, is from before they really broke through, but I thought I'd include it on that basis.
What about this one?
Do you remember the first time? So this comes kind of immediately before their really breakout album, which is in 1995. This is from His and Hers, and it's called Do You Remember the First Time? Yeah, we can speculate without getting into the details about what this is about, and your suspicions are probably be correct. But it is that Pulp sound coming through, I think. They're finding the voice, I think, that most people who came to them in that genre will hear, which has that very distinctive Jarvis Cocker voice and Pulp sound.
How big were they in the charts at this stage?
Building. Not megastars, and certainly not, as I said, maybe they were thrown into the undercard of the Britpop battle at that time. So even bands like Supergrass and other bands that were in the Britpop scene were probably a bit more popular. I think they've always been seen as a little bit niche. So although they are very much part of the zeitgeist of the time, in terms of total album sales, it's not inconsiderable, but over 10 million. But compared to some of the other artists, they're still not quite there yet at this point. I would be living down here on my own. Disco 2000.
Yeah, that's one of the two songs that I can probably only name off the top of my head when I think of Pulp.
This is my favourite Pulp song.
Really? Why? Yes.
Because I can see myself dancing to this song in the Bankers Club with my philosophical anthropology lecturer from college at a Christmas party. Yeah, there you go. A little overshare there. But now, quite literally, sometimes we love a song because of where we heard it and where we were at. Yeah. I was in college. And as I said, I'm not like a massive Pulp fan, but this song is a toe-tapper. It reminds me of my college days.
Yeah.
And also, I suppose, at that time, because it's pre-2000, and, you know, when we were that age, I would have been probably, you know, my early 20s at that point. It was that looming changing of the millennium, and 2000 was coming. It sounded very grown up and kind of scary all at the same time.
Were Pulp commercially attractive?
Yeah, I think so. I think this song and the one we will particularly close with today, which I'm going to hazard a guess, is the other one.
The other
that
two,
you know,
I know. Yeah,
certainly gave them notable chart success. But they, as I said, they kind of, I think, their cultural importance, if I can be so bold, transcends maybe just the commercial success, because I think they were always part of a kind of a movement in music. And Jarvis Cocker is an incredibly articulate man who has, you know, interesting things to say about life in the music, apart from them just being toe tappers or catchy tunes. He, of course, got himself into trouble for protesting against Michael Jackson at the Brit Awards when he was offended by Michael Jackson's messianic presentation. And he got up on stage. He might have had a few beverages on him. And just as a complete aside to that, he got represented that night by comedian Bob Mortimer, who managed to get him released with no charges, because Bob Mortimer, from British comedy fame, is a trained solicitor. And he said, well, there really was a big deal about nothing here. And he managed to get Jarvis Cocker released, thankfully. Not exactly the trial of the century.
Yeah.
Nonetheless, he's an outspoken man. Then forever, I wanna make a movie, so let's star in it together. Oh, don't make a move till I say action. This is hardcore. I can see that really was tickling your fancy there, Andrew. Yeah, no, again, but you know why I chose this? It comes a little bit later in 1998, and what I do like about any band is when they're going in a different direction. So they don't get pigeonholed. They don't try simply to replicate a winning formula, and it actually achieved huge critical success.
Yeah.
Even if commercially, it got to number 12 in the UK charts. Mm. This is Hardcore, which is from an album of the same name.
But they're still touring. Are they still?
Yeah. This is what I was hinting at the start. They break up. They get back together.
Yeah.
They break up. People leave, and there has been a little bit of tragedy there as well. Their long-standing bass player, Steve Mackey, unfortunately did pass away after an illness, and he had been a core part of the band.
Your final song today
is the other one, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this is, I suppose when I hear this song, I can't separate it from, yeah, my college years.
Yeah.
I can remember, even if I wasn't tremendously into this kind of music, you were listening to this, and you were listening to this on your radio very frequently.
Anthem. How were they received outside of the UK?
Not massive. Yeah. They've done well in Europe, but in my looking into this, in terms of, say, across the Atlantic, they simply don't have the name recognition as particularly, say, Oasis or even Blur. And again, there's me throwing them into that genre again. Mm. But perhaps it isn't. Maybe their main concern is being commercially successful. They are a band who have effectively been on the road for just a little bit shy of 5 decades.
Yeah, which is incredible. You know? Like,
so maybe it's more about the journey than the destination for Pulp. And I think as a result of that, they do have fans who recognize the journey and who have stuck with them and who will be very much looking forward to seeing them at the old All Together Now.
Yeah.
And you'll be looking forward to two songs.
Well, do you know what? I actually am going to miss them. I'm only going Saturday, but I think everybody else is probably very excited about seeing them.
Judging by that, you were not as excited as I was hoping.
We're going to leave you, though, with Common People. So if you're going to All Together Now this weekend, you will get to see Pulp on stage. For the moment, though, Alan Buckley from the Irish Rock and Roll Museum Experience. Thanks a million, Alan, for joining us in studio to tell us about Pulp's career.
Ah, college days.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk. Conversation that counts.